The subject today should not be foreign to anyone. Everybody knows what a father is. If you're here today, you had a father. You may not have one now, but you had one, just like you had a mother. The word father is from the Greek word pater, which is where we get our English word patriarch, the patriarch. If you're a father of a family, you have a wife and children, then you ought to be the patriarch of your family. There are literally millions of fathers in the world, but very few patriarchs. Any man can father a child, but to be a father is altogether different. Father is a title of honor, but also of God-given authority and responsibility. A father will look after, a father will govern, a father will lead his family in a paternal and caring way. With that, let's bow and ask the Lord to bless. Fathers, we speak of earthly fathers today. We would be dishonoring to thee unless we called upon you, our heavenly Father. Father, we are told in the scriptures that we ought to be as our heavenly Father. You say in the book of Luke, be ye merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And Father, we ought to exhibit that quality, that characteristic, that attribute as earthly fathers. Father, in the broader sense, every Christian should demonstrate those excellent heavenly virtues that come forth from thee. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Father, I pray you would speak to both fathers and mothers and children. Lord, I pray you would receive the glory and the honor. And at the end, Father, I pray that we would rightly pay tribute and homage and worship to thee, because you are our heavenly Father. And we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Fathers, if I were to ask you how you did raising your children, what would you say? If I asked you, how did you do raising your children? I see a bunch of dads in here. How did you do? Well, if you're a young father, then still a work in progress, right? If you're an older father and they're all out of the house, I hope you would answer like I would and say, well, I'm not finished yet. Just because your children grow up and move out of the house and they're no longer under your watch care and your direct tutelage, that doesn't mean that you cease to be their father. Yes, the role change. It changes. The roles change. Your children move out. They begin to make their own decisions. And then your children have children. And you become grandfather. But a grandfather is still a father. My grandchildren are my children. I am their father. I am their grandfather. And so, think about that. Listen, bottom line is, if you're a father with children, it's not how you did, but how, again, are you doing? My point is, just because all of your children are grown and out of the house, again, that doesn't mean that you cease to be their father. I pray that you would consider that. It's never too late. You might think to yourself, I've made a lot of mistakes as a father. I'll tell you, I did. There's not a father on the planet that can rightly look back at how he raised his children, how he cared for his family, that cannot go back and say, you know what? I wish I would not have done this, and I wish I'd have done this better. I wish I'd have done many things better. I've said that to myself. But understand this. It's never too late to be a good, godly, and wise father. It's never too late. You should, by the wisdom and grace of God, who is your heavenly Father, make every effort to be better and wiser as a father to your children until the end of your earthly life. See, that is when you will cease to be an earthly father, is when you go the way of all the earth and you lie in the dust of the earth. On December 30th, 2018, my wife, Kim, lost her earthly father, her dad. I remember that day. It was less than a month later, on January 26, 2019, that I lost my earthly father. Within the span of 3 weeks, we both lost our fathers. But I take comfort in the word of God. Psalm 68:5, the scriptures teach us that God says, I will be father to the fatherless. See, I had had friends that had lost their fathers, and I didn't know what that was like. And I would hear of my friends, some at work, some in Christianity, some at other churches, and they would speak of losing their fathers. I had never lost my father. I didn't know what it was like. I was thankful that I could spend time with my father, talk to him about the things of God. But then my father died and he was no more. My wife's father died suddenly. But no longer did I have my earthly father. Regrettably, brethren, we live in a society that has seen the downfall and demise of the patriarchal-led biblical family unit, which is a family consisting of both a father and a mother. In many cases, the demise of the family is the fault of immature, irresponsible, and ungodly men who do not take their God-given responsibilities as husbands and fathers seriously. In the secular and ungodly society of our day, the idea of a father and a patriarch ruling and governing his family has been dismantled by our sin and attacked by today's anti-God, anti-authority culture. Our culture, the society of our day, they are dismantling the nuclear family. You've heard the term nuclear family. It means a family that consists of both a father and a mother. But listen, it does not matter what the world or modern day culture declares about the biblical family. If you are a father this morning, lost or saved, doesn't matter. You are the patriarch of your family and you should take your God-called responsibility seriously. You might say, hold on, I'm not a Christian. God gave you children. God commands you to lead those children and that family. You're married, you have a wife. I'm not a Christian. God commands you to love your wife and your children. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. You fathered a child, they're your children. It's your child. It's never too late. You might say, I'm an abject failure. I've failed. If you have, I hope you at least realize that. Listen, I've failed. I could tell you of my failures. But it's never too late by God's grace to take my responsibilities. And I ought to be the patriarch of my family. Doesn't mean I'm a tyrant. A good, godly father. Listen, a manly man. Society is trying to get rid of the manly, masculine man. We ought to be manly, masculine men. We ought to be godly men. We ought to be lovers of God. That's how God created the man, to rule his household, not by tyranny, but by love, to love his wife, to love his children, to teach his children about God, to transfer that godliness from our generation to the next. Let me show you one of the greatest patriarchs, Genesis chapter 18, which is really our text. Genesis chapter 18, this is Abraham. This is before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is when those three men came to Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah made them a meal. Abraham at this point has a son. His name is Ishmael. He fathered him with Hagar. Bad move. Pure and simple. But you can see the heart of Abraham when God promised Abraham that he would have a son, and Abraham cried out to God, and he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." He had a heart for his son. Now, we're not going to talk about Ishmael, but we're going to talk about the son that God promised Abraham, who would be Isaac. That third man that was with the other two angels there began to speak with Abraham. In chapter 18 and verse 9, they say unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." She was cooking up dinner. And he, and this I think was the Lord Jesus himself speaking with Abraham, he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent which was behind him, and now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. This would be a miraculous birth. Of course, Sarah heard that and chuckled in the tent. She said, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." You will father a child, Abraham, from your aged wife. Abraham went in and said, "Did you laugh?" She says, "I didn't laugh." The Lord says, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way, and the Lord said, "Shall I hide the thing, or hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" That's gospel right there. All nations of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham, meaning the Messiah would come from Abraham's loins. His future son would be the Son of God. The text is here. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." See what he said about Abraham? Abraham's going to be the patriarch of his family. He's going to lead his family. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This is a good and biblical definition of a father. A father should command his household. Doesn't mean you line your kids up like military and march them around. To command them means to lead them. And so that's my daughter's over there laughing because I was in the military. So, and there may have been times when I did command them like a military person, but thus my mistakes. But this is a good definition of a biblical father. He will command his children and his household after him. That is, Abraham, the Lord says, will teach his children and his household to keep the ways of the Lord, both in word and in deed, by example. What fathers should be is examples to their children. And by his faith in God and his godly good example, he will lead and teach his family the way of God. He'll teach his wife and his children the word of God. Proverbs 22, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That primary responsibility of that proverb, men, is to you. Yes, it's to mamas too. And mamas, you're not out of this. But the primary responsibility to lead your family is with you, man. God commands you to lead your families. Yes, mamas too, but dad, God called you to lead your families, not your wife. If a family is disordered, then mama will be in charge. And you know what happens often is that daddy won't take charge. And so guess what? Mama's going to take charge. The motherly instinct. Listen, we live in a day today when young men are very immature. They are. I'm just telling you. Very immature. Listen, you father a child, it's time for you to grow up. Time for you to grow up. They're your responsibility. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just look at a little bit of this. And I'm going to show you a couple of passages. And then I'm going to show you briefly the characteristic of a bad father. Ephesians 6:4. Actually, we can read from verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's your part, children. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, here's some instruction for fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up, fathers, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up, fathers, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:18, the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 18. Here we have the entire family unit encompassed in this short text of verses 18 to 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we have wives, then we have husbands, then we have children, and now we have fathers. Again, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And listen, when we do that, because the father figure of the family is the God figure of the family. Not God, but the head of the family. And so your children's view of you, Father, is going to form their view of God. That can be discouraging in and of itself if you fail to be the right father figure. Now, before we look at the characteristics of good and biblical fathers, let me warn you about the dangers of being a bad father. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Exodus 20 and verse 4. The second commandment. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now notice the next words. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, God says. I don't want my children to be visited with my iniquities. I don't want that to happen. Fathers, if there's anything that you should get this here. Make this preeminent in your mind. Don't pass your sins down to your children. Now, they have a sin nature already, but don't teach them to sin. This has far-reaching consequences. Look at Exodus 34 and verse 4. Exodus 34, 4. Exodus 34, 4. This is after Moses would go back up into the mount. This is after he came down from the mount, after he broke the two tables with the commandments, and he's going back up for God to re-inscript them. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, verse 4. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That must have been surreal to have God proclaim that singularly to Moses. He says in verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children. Remember we talked about far-reaching effects? Unto the third and fourth generation. When Moses heard that, he made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. He said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. If there's anything that you and I, fathers and mothers, ought to fear passing down to our children, the next generation, let us not pass to them our deliberate sins. You've passed your sin nature. Behold, every one of us was born shapen in iniquity and sin. We come forth sinners. We come forth from the womb with a sin nature. Don't teach your children to deliberately sin against God. Sins and ungodly ways that our children see learned from us. Don't let them learn ungodly ways from you. It's bad enough that they came into the world lost and bent towards sin with a sin nature. Let us not teach them to sin by sinning before them. Let them not see an example of sin from us. Let us not teach them that. They're gonna see us sin. They ought to see us confess our sins to them. When you sin before your children, fathers, confess it. Ask them for forgiveness. Show them how a Christian lives if you're in Christ. We pass down many things to our children. Let us not pass our sins to them. It's regrettable when you see parents teaching their kids to sin and then laughing about it, think it's funny. Teaching them to speak with foul language and then thinking it's funny. I've seen that. It's disgraceful. Oh yeah, it's all cute and funny when they're three. Wait until they're 20 and they're putting their finger in your face. Won't be so funny then. How did this happen? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. It's a high responsibility, Dad. Ought to be thought long and hard before you ever father a child. Ought to be thinking about that. Look at 1 Kings 15:1. 1 Kings 15 and verse 1. This is King Abijam in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, who was of Israel, son of Nebat, who was a terrible king, reigned Abijam, who was Rehoboam's son. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. And he walked, notice, in all the sins of his father. He learned the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David, his grandfather. Look at verse 25, same chapter. It says, Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. We should want to see our children live so much better than we. I want my children to be better than I was. I don't want them to commit my sins. 22 of 1 Kings 51. 1 Kings 22, 51. 22 and verse 51. Ahaziah was the son of Ahab. He began to reign over Israel, verse 51, in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. Ahab was a terrible king. And he, Ahaziah, did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, who was Jezebel, who was a terrible woman. And in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, and for he served Baal and worshipped and provoked the anger of the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. 2 Kings, one more, 21:19. Sin has far-reaching consequences. Your children will be sinners all by themselves. Don't teach them how to sin. Don't think it's funny. It's not funny. Of the Pharisees, it says, you make disciples and make them twofold more the children of hell than yourselves. So don't make your children twofold more children of hell than yourselves, fathers. Don't teach your children to sin. 21:19. Of 2 Kings 21:19. This is Ammon. This is the son of Manasseh. Manasseh was an ungodly king who God seemingly saved, but he couldn't stop all of his sin from affecting his own child. Ammon, his son, was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh. And he walked in all the way that his father walked and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. And so, enough. Don't teach your children to sin. I could go to several other places, but I think this suffices. But now, what are the characteristics of a biblical father? Well, first, real men and real fathers teach their children, which is the next generation, from the Holy Scriptures, the truth about their God and Father. We teach about our God and Father. 1 Chronicles 28:9. You're very close. Turn there. 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. David's words to Solomon. And thou, Solomon, thy son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And listen, yes, mothers, you are to teach and lead your children into the way of truth as well. But fathers, it is primarily your responsibility. You might have a mama that teaches them well during the day and you're off at work. That doesn't mean you come home and you get a pass. You are to lead your family in the way of righteousness. You are to lead them and point them to your God. They are to see your worship of God personally in your life. Look at Psalm 78, verse 1. The Psalms 78 and verse 1. So first, real men, real fathers, they teach their children. They teach the next generation the truth of the Holy Scriptures. They teach them about the true, the one living and true God. They teach them about God and their Father. Verse 1, Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline thine ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, that it's Israel, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That's your responsibility, Father. That the generation to come might know them. Know what? The commandments of the Lord. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That's what you want to go down through the generations. That's what you want to pass down. You want them to be able to talk about grandfather and say, yes, grandfather told us about God the Father. That's, beloved, what you want to transfer down. Why? Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, and a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And so real fathers point their children to their heavenly Father. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. Moses writes here, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When your kids are following you around and you're working during the day, when you're sitting down at the dinner table, you ought to be speaking of the Lord. Your children should know that about you, fathers. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. You want to have some of the days of heaven upon earth? You want to have a little piece of heaven upon earth? You want to have a peaceful and joyful house? Then you teach your children the ways of God. You invoke the blessing of God upon your house by doing this. And so real men, real fathers teach their children the truth about God, their Father. Next, real men and fathers discipline and correct their children in love. A real father doesn't just let mama correct them. A real father corrects and disciplines their children in love. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. Proverbs 3 and verse 11. I look at this characteristic and I could have done so much better. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not thou, or despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. He's teaching us something, that if God corrects you, it's a sign that he loves you. It's a sign that he's your father. It's the responsibility of you fathers to correct your children, just like God the Father corrects his children. If you don't get any correction from God, Chris read it this morning, you don't have a father. We'll read that in a moment. But look, he says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Even as a father, the son or the daughter in whom he delighteth. You delight in your children. You take your responsibility seriously for your children. You'll correct your children. It's a marked sign that you love them. That you love them. You do them good. It's what they need. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. It's a little different here. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, in other words, if you are corrected, God is dealing with you as with sons. He's dealing with you as his child. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? To not chasten, to not correct, is a sign that you don't love them. It says, look, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all what? All children are partakers. But if you're without it, then he says, then are you bastards and not sons. Beloved, we ought to correct our children. If you're a father, lost or saved, you ought to correct your children in love. Correct them in love. Next, real men and fathers point their families and their children to faith in Jesus Christ. They point them to Christ. I think of the Philippian jailer here, who after he believed Christ, he brought the apostles home to his family so his family could hear the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 16. Look at the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. I love this, that moments earlier he was whipping them and thrusting them into prison, and now he's bringing them to his house so that the apostle Paul could tell his family about Christ. Look at 16:30 of the book of Acts. This is after the prison doors opened. This is after the jailer was going to thrust himself through and kill himself, because if the prisoners had all escaped, he would be held responsible and he would be killed by the Roman prefect. But Paul cried in verse 28 and he says, do thyself no harm, we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So obviously they transitioned from the jail to where his family was. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And he, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. It's almost as if it became intuitive to this man, who was also a father, to say, you have to come tell my family this. And so they heard the gospel as well. Acts chapter 18, just listen. When Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, it was with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Listen, Christian men and fathers, you should be well versed in the gospel of Christ in your own family. You should be able to speak about the things of God to your children. You should know, you should show rather your children your love of your God and Heavenly Father. They should see the attributes of God in you. As Luke 6:36 says, be ye therefore merciful as your father is merciful. We should have those attributes of our Father in us. Listen, I don't know if you've thought about this. You may end up being a spiritual father to someone who they're not really your paternal children. You may end up being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. There are people in the world who have taken children and they love them because the children in the world have no physical father or mother, and you end up being the one that they come to. Did you ever consider that you don't have to father a child to be a father figure, mother figure? And you know what? In this time that we live in, you ought to be. If the opportunity presents itself, you should love that younger one, that child that comes to you. Look at 1 Corinthians. Paul said this to the Corinthian teachers, to the elders. He told them in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, he said this, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers." A spiritual father, one to take you and mentor you and talk to you and teach you as a father would his son. Paul said, "For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." Be followers of me. Mothers, in the case in which your husband is not leading, it may fall to you. When your husband's not teaching, maybe your husband's not even saved. Or perhaps your husband has died. He's no longer there, and it falls to you. There are single mothers. It will fall to you. Well, don't lose hope. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. This is spoken of young Timothy, who I believe would be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. It says in Acts 16, 1, in Acts chapter 16, 1, "Then came he," that is Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman," this was Eunice, I'll show you that in a minute, "which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Verse 2, "which was well reported by the brethren," that is Timothy was well reported, "that were at Lystra and Iconium." So Timothy's father apparently here looks to have been a man that was unregenerate. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Sometimes the duties of leading will fall to you, ladies. That is, leading without a husband. Your children don't have a father. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance, Timothy, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And then in 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul tells Timothy, "From a child you knew the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." He heard this from his mama and his grandmother. Why his father wasn't there? Well, as it appears, perhaps he was not a saved man. So first, real men and fathers teach their children from the Holy Scriptures the truth about God, their Heavenly Father. Second, real men discipline and correct their children. Third, real men and fathers point their children to Christ. Third, real men and fathers will be determined that their families are going to serve the Lord. Joshua said that to the people after the lamb was separated out. He says, "You better choose who you're going to serve, whether the gods of the Amorites and the false gods that were on the other side of the river." But he says, "I'll tell you who I'm going to serve. That's for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." And so, fathers, you ought to be determined to serve the Lord. And then real men and real fathers pray for their children. They pray. You remember what Job did, right? We read that the other day. Remember, he didn't know what his children were doing. He said, I just want to sanctify them. He prayed for them every day. It says there in the book of Job, Job sent and sanctified, prayed for them. Because he says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He prayed for his children. I can pray for every single one of my children. And how many is that? 15. So you have 15 children? I have 10 grandchildren. They're all mine. I will call their name up before the throne of grace and pray that God will save every single one of them from their sins. A godly father will pray for his children. He'll pray for them. He'll teach them about Christ, but he'll pray for them. He'll go to his secret closet and pray for them. He'll teach them how to pray. Now, remember I said earlier, and I'll finish up here, if you have children, it doesn't matter their age, it's never too late to become a good father. But finally, what would you think of a father who killed his own son? What would you think of that? In the earthly sense, it would be pretty terrible, but that's exactly what God, our Heavenly Father, did for us. He did kill and slay his own son so that we might be saved from our sins. We sang it tonight, today. For God so loved the world of sinners, this sinful fallen world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent him into the world to die. And think about that. Think about the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father, my Father, hath bestowed upon me, that I should be called a child of God, a son, a daughter of God. Behold what manner of love. That's a foreign love. It's a radical love. It does not come from this world. It's a heavenly love, a love that would sacrifice his own son in the place of his enemies, that he might save me from my sins, that he might save you, sinner, from your sins. That's the cost. See, the great cost of your salvation is that God slew his only begotten son. Not a guilty son, but a son who was perfect in every way. A son that merited the righteousness that you possess if you're in Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Are you saved today? Are you a Christian today? Father, dad, are you a Christian? Son, young man, young lady, are you a Christian? Do you believe Christ? Do you believe in the Heavenly Father? He is the Father that deserves the honor and the glory today. Not me, and certainly none of you. God the Father deserves the honor and the glory today. He deserves it solely. If you're a good father and you're in Christ, it's only because of him. It's only because of the grace that he has shed abroad upon you. And so listen, you ask yourself the question. You don't have to answer to me. If you're not a Christian, you have to answer to God. You might think, I don't have to answer that today. I'm not listening. That guy's crazy. You will answer to God. And listen, God is merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He sent and sacrificed his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Voluntarily he came, sent by his Father. And so if you're not a Christian today, turn from your sins to Christ. It's incumbent upon you. It's your responsibility to turn from your sins to Christ. And so as the Philippian jailer did, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Turn from your sins to Christ in repentance and faith. And the Bible says he will save you. If you're a father here today, I pray that you would worship God, who is your heavenly Father. I pray that you would consider these excellent virtues of what it means to be a biblical father. And I pray that you'd also realize this: it's never too late to start being a good father. Never too late. You say, my kids are grown and they're old and I've messed up. Doesn't matter. It's never too late. They're still here and you're still here. There's time today. And so, listen, our heart's desire, nobody's going to pressure you to come to Christ. Nobody's going to try and twist your arm, because that wouldn't be you coming to Christ. That would be us coercing you to come to Christ. But I will compel you with urgency and tell you that if you don't turn from your sins to Christ, you're in grave danger of dying in your sins. And so that's our desire. You say, well, that church, they just want us to be saved. That's right. Absolutely we do. Yes. And so turn from your sins to Christ and he will save you. That's what we want. We want it selfishly, because we want to see you saved, but the principal reason is because we want you to honor God and to magnify him. And so let's dismiss in prayer. And I pray today amidst the Father's Day activities or whatever it is, that you would remember your Heavenly Father and give thanks to him as we dismiss. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that you would be with all of our families, Lord. I pray that I myself would be a better father. Lord, I pray that you would teach me. I pray that you'd teach every man here that what it is to be a real man, a real husband, a real father. And Lord, I pray that we would honor you by obeying your word. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.